Well, Merry Christmas, church. How we doing? It's good to be with you guys. My name is Zach, and I have the privilege to lead this family of... All right, 7 o'clock. We got something here tonight. Good. If you're wondering, what did they just say? It's on the wall back there. That's our mission statement. We're crazy about this man, Jesus. And we got a lot of faith, and we think big around here that God's going to do great things. And so we're so excited. I believe he's going to do big things tonight, and a lot of faith in what God's going to do tonight. And so I'm excited you're here, and you're going to be, I believe, moved and changed by the word of God and this pursuit of Jesus that he has for each and every one of us. And so believe it or not, I was reading an article about sports this week. I know it's shocking to you. And there are some teams that actually play on Christmas Day, and so some of the athletes talked about they had to make preparations in advance of Christmas so that their families didn't, quote, miss Christmas. And I thought, man, how in the world can anyone in our day miss Christmas? I mean, we are inundated with it everywhere that we go for the entire month. There's no holiday in the world or in the year that is as commercialized and advertised as this holiday of Christmas. And so you know what I'm talking about. You've seen the Christmas decorations, the Christmas trees, there's Christmas presents, there's Christmas lights, there's Christmas carols and hymns, there's singing and eggnog. I mean, there's so much stuff about Christmas that it makes me wonder, how can anybody at all miss Christmas? And I love Christmas. Like, Christmas is awesome. I'm 35, so I'm a really old man now. And I remember back to my younger days. I remember the first time in Christmas Eve service that I got to hold my candle in the candlelight service. And I remember my dad was a preacher, and so we would always wait for dad to come home on Christmas Eve, and then we'd tear into our gifts. And some of the churches that he pastored, they actually had 11 p.m. Christmas Eve services, which was okay, because that meant we got to stay up really late. And so we'd get to stay up till 12:30 or 1 when dad would get home, and then we'd just tear into gifts and just euphoria. And it was so awesome. And one of the years while we were waiting, my mom like brought the fryer out and made these like fried wontons with cheese and green chilies in them. And so that just became a tradition. Every year we did that because everybody makes fried cheese wonton with green chilies on Christmas Eve, right? I don't know why, but that was our family tradition. And I love family traditions and all the things that come with it. And there's just a nostalgia and a magic about Christmas. And then you grow up, though, and by the time you're 18 and 19, it's kind of lost its luster, right? You know what presents you're going to get. In fact, you probably even picked them out. Maybe even you paid for them with your own money. I don't know. But something cool happens when you have kids again and you get to kind of relearn and rewatch Christmas through the eyes of your children. And it's really exciting to see, you know, what happens in these kids, and you're excited for them, and usually the night before they have to open up presents because they're so amped up, they actually act out that then you got to send them to bed early, right? And that's kind of cruel because there's no way they're going to sleep. Their mind is racing in that bed. What's tomorrow morning going to be like? But you're just done with them. So out, done. We'll open up presents when you wake up. And so you start these new traditions perhaps in your house, and nobody can deny, whether you are religious or not, that it seems like culture changes and shifts everywhere when it comes to Christmas this time of year, not just in our country, but worldwide. There's something that crosses every area of culture when it comes to Christmas, and even the music that you listen to, whether you're into country or rock or hip hop or jazz, or if you're a real Christian and listen to Z88 all year, right? All these stations, it seems like for the month of Christmas, are hijacked by Christmas songs. And if they're not like completely taken over, it's just sprinkled in here and there. And even the landscape changes a little bit. Like the houses start looking different. All of a sudden they've got these lights on them that are in different colors and people decorating them in weird ways. And then there's like fake deer on yards and just some weird things. And like no other time of the year do we do that, except I suppose Halloween, have you noticed, is sort of creeping in on the yard decoration stuff. And that's a little bothersome, like, as a human being. But anyway, there's that. And even your house, like, it's different. You have decorations that you see only once a year in different rooms. Even the food you eat, though, is different. Like, tomorrow when you wake up, it's a Tuesday. If it was a normal Tuesday, like, none of you would wake up and say, you know what we need today? Candied yams. Let's put marshmallows on yams. And we gotta have the green bean casserole with the French fried onion straws on the top. That's the only thing anybody really likes in that anyway. Right? Nobody's waking up on a normal Tuesday being like, you know what? It's ham smoking day today. But tomorrow a lot of you will smoke a ham because it's Christmas and we do different things and everything changes on Christmas. And I love Christmas. I love all of it. I love the music. I love the trees, the lights, the yards decorated. I think it's really great. And all these things are happening, and we have to admit that if there's nothing else behind it, there's some really weird things that go on in Christmas. And I love it. I love everything. I love getting presents. I love giving presents. I know I probably should have reversed the order since I'm the pastor, but you know, I like both of them. I like the joy of giving and the joy of receiving. But here's my fear, and it's not just with Christmas. It's with the everyday, but I think it's especially apparent in this season, is that I don't want you to miss what Christmas is all about in the midst of all of it. And my fear is that for all the tinsel and trees and all the presents and pomp, which are nice, for all these lights that we have that are up and family that come into town, for all the food that will be consumed, stuff that will be gotten under the tree, that for all of the shadows that will miss the form. And if all you see in this is shadows and miss the form, what do you have? And my fear, again, is that through the pageantry and the pomp and the parties and the punch, that we miss the fact that Christmas is ultimately about a pursuit of a God that loves us so much that he would send his one and only son into this world to become one of us in order to have right relationship with us. And he would do it in both the most extraordinary and ordinary of ways. Coming through a teenage peasant virgin girl who scientifically was unable to have a child. Like, why would God do that? Maybe again to show us just how much control over creation and nature and science that God really has. But his prized possession, his greatest creation, at least in his eyes, had stepped away and had veered away from what God wanted. And that's us. And so rather than abandoning us and leaving us, God once again initiated contact and continued this relentless pursuit by sending Jesus on Christmas morning into our world. He would be born in Bethlehem in Judea in a stable, in a manger, which is just a wooden feeding trough, a wooden feeding box for cattle. This very bloody, ugly labor scene outside in the stable in a manger where Jesus was laid in a wooden box would ultimately lead this baby Jesus to grow, and one day another bloody scene would happen on a wooden cross. God loves you so much that he relentlessly pursues you, and I don't want you to miss the pursuit in the midst of the pageantry of Christmas. Drink all the red punch that you want. Right? I suppose if it's alcoholic, like in moderation, but if it's not, like drink all the red punch you want, but don't forget, this is not about red punch, it's about a relentless pursuit. And so have fun celebrating Santa, but don't miss the Savior in the midst of celebrating Santa. Amen. Don't miss any of this. It's great to get presents, but I don't want you to get so wrapped up with presents under the tree. See that pun there? That was pretty good, right? Don't get so wrapped up in all the presents under the tree that you miss. This is actually about God's presence among us. I'm happy that your boyfriend finally went to Jared. About time. But let's not forget, this is about Jesus coming to Bethlehem. And I know that every kiss begins with K, but the rescue of every soul of humanity begins with J. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you're clapping, but you're also like, Pastor, that's really cheesy right now. I know it is. I know it is. But it is far less cheesy, and this pursuit is far more unpredictable than the Hallmark movies you've been binge watching every night since Halloween. I don't mean to convict. Okay, maybe I do. But I just want to say some of you have spent more time with Candace Cameron this Christmas season than you have Jesus Christ. So maybe a few of you ladies and weird men are offended now, and that's okay. My father-in-law loves Hallmark movies for some reason. I don't get it. But anyway, just a social commentary here. If there is nothing else behind this, let me tell you, some of the things that we do are extremely weird, right? If there's nothing else behind this, like, it's just a weird thing. Like what is going on? Like, if there's not something behind this, we just need to slow down and go, hang on, I just bought a fake tree. Not a real fake. Or I just chopped a real tree, chugged it, lugged it into my house, pine straw everywhere, and I threw some lights around it, thought it'd be a nice little decoration in our living room. You like it? Right? Like, what do we do? Like I love to buy my kids stuff, but I just freaked out and bought the whole store. Right? I just risked my life hanging up lights that I'm going to take down in a month. Or, baby, why did I put a fake reindeer on the roof? If there's nothing else behind this, there's some weird things going on. But I'm here to tell you, there is something behind it. There's something behind it all. And his name is Jesus. And I'm not railing against any of these Christmas traditions that we make up. I hope I got some cool stuff under that fake tree we lit up in our living room. So I don't want to knock any of this, but what I'm saying is, for many of you, there are deeper waters to swim in than you are allowing yourself to go. And this is my hope for you, that this Christmas, you don't miss Christ. That's what this is all about. And humans are notorious for being so close to something and yet missing out on opportunities. And so I was doing a little research on some of the greatest missed opportunities in our world today and ran across quite a few of them that people are probably kicking themselves on decisions that they made. And I looked at Decca Industries, who brought in two aspiring bands, Brian Poole and the Tremolos and the Beatles, and they could only select one. And they selected Brian Poole and the Tremolos. Like, what could have been, right? And I don't know where you fall on all the Harry Potter stuff, but I know J.K. Rowling was turned down 15 times by more than that publishers, and yet somehow this Harry Potter industry is $14 billion now. Crazy. Some of you remember the great video chain store Blockbuster, right? How many of you remember that? Like, our kids will never know the great good old days, the be kind and rewind days, right? They don't know what we had to go through in order to get buffering, and like, they just don't understand. And at one point 20 years ago, Blockbuster was king of the home entertainment. And it was dinner and a movie was the date, but there was always a stop in the middle between dinner and the movie because you had to go to Blockbuster to peruse the titles and pick out one that you hope would be in stock and you hope would have been rewound when you actually put it in your VCR, right? That was part of the fun. And about 17 years ago, they were approached by this struggling online mail order company that was willing to sell themselves for $50 million called Netflix. And it's told that the Blockbuster, head of Blockbuster, laughed them out of the building and said, no way. Well, turns out he shouldn't have done that. Right? Missed opportunity. Now Netflix is worth $70 billion. Only a 1,400 times investment on the $50 million that he was asking. And then you have to say, well, what happened to Blockbuster? They went from $6 million to bankrupt and went from 9,000 stores. Do you know how many are left now? At the beginning of the year, there were three. Two in Alaska that actually just shut down, and now there's only one left in Bend, Oregon. And the manager of that store says, we're actually quite busy, and a lot of our foot traffic comes from those who want to relive the good old days. Just walk into a Blockbuster. Bend, Oregon, of all places. Allegedly, there was a day when Facebook was almost bought by MySpace. I mean, you remember MySpace, right? Facebook was a distant second, and now look at what's happened. And then maybe the biggest of all of them, this year, Zondervan, the great book publisher, actually turned down author Zach Zinder in his Red Letter Challenge book. Okay, maybe all don't fit in that category, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm saying it's possible to be so close to something that you actually miss out on the opportunity that's in front of you. And this Christmas, I don't want you to miss out on Jesus. So I want to tell you three reasons why people miss Christ and Christmas. And I want to do so by using three characters in the Christmas story that you'll never see at a nativity scene. Not because they weren't invited. I believe Christ's invitation is to all, but simply because they missed the opportunity. Three reasons by three characters or groups of people. And the first reason that we miss Jesus in Christmas is busyness. We are so busy. This in the Christmas story was the innkeeper's problem. You know the story, right? Mary was pregnant but had to go up to Bethlehem, for the Roman government was doing a census. And so for taxation purposes, she had to return back to where she was from. And she went up there with her husband, and she was in the last week of pregnancy. And on the way up, she went into labor. Her water broke, and Joseph's trying to find an inn anywhere that she can stay. But there was no room in the inn. Luke 2, chapter, verse 7 says, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Such a humbling way for the Savior of the world to come. Feed box for cattle. No room in the inn. There's nothing there. And from the innkeeper's perspective, like, this was really great. There was no vacancy. There was no room. Everybody's coming to Bethlehem for the census, and so all the rooms are booked out. That's really awesome. So much so that they were so busy that he didn't spend any extra time for this pregnant woman, hearing her situation, understanding. And in doing so, he missed the greatest opportunity in his life. So listen to this. Busyness with his own business caused him to miss out on the greatest opportunity that would ever present itself to him. I mean, think about it. What a great PR for the rest of your life. Son of God born here, right? I mean, you'd have that thing booked out the rest of your life. I once stayed in a bed and breakfast where apparently Mark Twain used to write. And I thought, man, that's kind of cool. But this guy, all he did was invent Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. God created all of us. Like, I think that inn would sell out every single day. But he missed it being too busy with his business. Are you too busy to make room for Jesus this Christmas? And let's just fast forward past Christmas, because that's done in a couple of days. Are you too busy to make room for Jesus in your life? Your time, your schedule, your plans, your thoughts, your budgets. Like, do you actually have any room in your life to have Jesus invade your life, to be a part of you, in your heart, in your mind? Or are you too busy? And I get it, especially like this season. Like, I'm in the camp. I understand, like, there's a lot of Christmas traditions to get done. And so it takes time to go up in the attic and decorate the house. It takes many of us maybe a full day's worth of work to hang the lights on the outside that you're going to take down in a month. And then we've got all the Christmas parties, like all the Christmas parties. You know what I'm talking about? You've got your spouse's staff party, your own staff party. You've got your neighborhood party. You've got your friend's ugly sweater Christmas party. You've got your family's party, your in-laws party. Like, there's all these parties to go to. And so in the midst of all of this, we just stay busy and busy and busy. And in the midst of that, like, a lot of people think, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go visit my relatives in Florida. I'm sure they have nothing to do right now. And it sounds really good to them because it is really nice for them. They get to leave 7.5 degree weather to experience 75 degree weather. That's pretty awesome. But they don't think about how busy you are. And I'm not saying you don't enjoy them here. Well, maybe some of you might not. But even if you do enjoy them, it's still somebody else to host or entertain or to visit. It's just one more thing. And I'll be real with you. The calendar hit December 17th. And I was pretty much done with I was ready for Christmas to just be done. And I started working a little more on this message. And I realized, you know what? I've, in all the busyness, I haven't actually brought Christ into my Christmas season. And I think so many of you do that as well. You get so busy in this world, and you fast forward past Christmas, and just in life, you get so busy and so caught up with all the things you're supposed to do, all the things you can do, all the things you should do, all the things the world tells you. Man, you just have no room for the Savior of the world to invade your life. How sad that the innkeeper was right there, so close. And yet he missed him. Second reason people may miss Jesus in Christmas is familiarity. What I mean by that is when you read the Christmas story, you're not amazed anymore. You're not in awe and shock. Like when I talk about this incredible conception of a virgin, it like doesn't really do anything for you anymore. And you know about Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and Bethlehem. You know about the shepherds and wise men and the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. You're so familiar with it that honestly it doesn't move you like it used to. And you miss the beauty of it. You understand it so much now, but you take it for granted. And this was the mistake of the religious leaders of Jerusalem. You see, wise men had come all the way from the east. They saw this unusual star, and so they chased this star, and it brought them all the way to Jerusalem, and they didn't know exactly where to go next, and so they go into the king, his name is Herod, and they ask Herod, where is this Messiah, this Son of God, that is supposed to be born? And Herod doesn't know, and so he calls all the religious leaders, assembles them in, and says, tell me when is this Messiah, this Son of God, coming into this world? Where is it happening? And the religious leaders, they know where it happens. They know where it's going to happen. This is what they've been talking about and detailing and describing and debating for hundreds of years. And this is what's astounding to me, is that foreign dignitaries come all the way across the world to see this star. And it says to us in Matthew 2, 4, and 5, it says, Herod assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's written by the prophet. And they would quote the prophet Micah. And so when Herod asks them, where is the Christ child to be born? They said, we know this. It's in Micah. Micah 5, verse 4 says that the Christ child is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they know all the details, so they know about him, but they're not concerned enough to go see him. And it's shocking to me that wise men would come all the way, maybe even from China to Israel. And yet these religious leaders who knew of him, knew about him, knew all the details, were so close that they didn't even want to check it out for themselves. If you look on a map, you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem where they were debating? 5 miles. That's it. You can get there in a little more than an hour to go check out, is this really true? This is what they've been talking about for centuries, and they wouldn't actually go see what happened. Man, they got jaded with the story. And I think that can happen for us too. That the more we know Jesus, the more we've been in church and or maybe at Mass, and the more we've read the Bible, the more familiar the stories get, that we too can become so familiar with the story that we become jaded. For centuries, they were waiting. And you know what they did while they were waiting? They just added tradition upon tradition upon tradition. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? In the Christmas season. We just add traditions upon traditions, and I'm not against them. Like, have fun with Santa. That's great. Celebrate it. Enjoy Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Elf on the Shelf. Like, great. Good traditions. Fun. I did see one tradition that I was a little alarmed with this year. It's a new thing that millennials who are more health conscious are trying to push along. And it's this thing that says, rather than giving Santa cookies and milk, we're going to give him avocado toast. And I thought, that's not cool. That sucks for Santa, as old as he is. Like, he's old. Just give him what he wants. And he's never shown a propensity to want or to lose weight in his life. Just keep giving him cookies and milk. But anyway, that's just more my thing. So I don't mind that you celebrate these traditions and have them. But I just wonder that with the quantity of the traditions that you have, that by the time Jesus arrives, are you paying more attention to the traditions than you are to the Savior? You can become so familiar that you miss it. These guys were 5 miles away. My fear is that for some of us, we know enough about God to be dangerous. We can engage in theological debate. But do you actually know him? I hope so, and I don't want you to miss it. Third reason we can miss Christ in Christmas There's busyness, there's familiarity, and then there's fear. Some people are afraid of Christmas and they fight it. It's why they fight against nativity scenes. It's why they fight against us using the words Merry Christmas, and they want to change it to Happy Holidays or Compliments of the Season, because they're afraid, for whatever reason, of grace, mercy, and love. I don't get it, but a lot of people are afraid of Christ. The character that represents this in the story is King Herod. Herod was an evil king of Arab descent under Roman rule that was labeled the king of the Jews, but all he did was persecute the Jews. And he was so power-driven and power-hungry that if anyone threatened his kingdom or wanted to depose him of his position, he just had him killed. In his life, he killed his mom, his wife, two sons, his brother-in-law, and then actually everybody that was left 5 days before he died. He killed all of his relatives because he didn't want any of them to succeed him on the throne. And in addition to that, he had all the prominent Jewish leaders thrown in prison and gave the orders that when he died, they are to kill all of the prominent Jewish leaders, because he knew that nobody was going to be weeping on the day that he died, and he wanted people to weep on the day that he died. That's the sort of evil king that Herod is. And so when the wise men come in and say, "Where's this baby born king of the Jews?" Herod goes ballistic. And he makes this law that says all the baby boys 2 years old and under must be murdered. And that's why Jesus has to spend the first 2 years on the run as an immigrant to escape from Herod. It's called the Massacre of the Innocents. And he was very, very afraid of Christmas actually happening and this king of the Jews taking his throne. Now, you don't have that fear. But some of you may have fear. And your fear is more, if I give my life over to Jesus, then maybe I'll lose my freedom. And I don't know if I'll be able to have any fun anymore. And I'll just be another religious fanatic. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what happens. When you give your life to Jesus, I want you to know you'll experience freedom for the first time in your life. And that fear of losing out on fun, let me just ask you, how's the chasing after the world's fun going for you? Let me guess, not well. And what Jesus wants to do is give you something greater than fun. He wants to give you fulfillment. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There's hard days, but man, you'll feel more fulfilled. Even when you got to preach with a sore throat, you'll feel fulfilled. Just, you know, maybe that, if that's happening for anybody. And he says, you don't have to become a religious fanatic, because I didn't come to make you more religious. I came to make you more human. And St. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And there's a lot of you that you are not living, you are just existing. And you are not connected to the Creator that made you. And in doing so, you were made by God and you were made for God. And when you are not living connected to that God, your life will never make sense. And so you can try to live for money, and you can try to live for fun. You can try to live trying to get a really great golf game. I've seen Mark Crossman try to live that life, and it doesn't lead him well. Right? You can chase after pleasure and passion and possession or position. You can pursue sex and status and salary and success. But there is a void in you that only God can fill. Because you were made by him and for him, and you will never make sense unless you are in him, unless he is in you. And that is what Christmas is all about. And I don't want you to miss Christ in Christmas because you're too busy to notice, or you're too familiar. You know about him, but you don't know him. Or you're afraid because you heard all of these false things that would happen if you gave your life over to him. If you don't know God, and if you don't receive him this season, you've missed the point of all of this. Busyness, familiarity, and fear. Which one is keeping you from Jesus? Because if you miss what this is all about, let me tell you what will happen. Wednesday afternoon, after all is said and done, your house will be dirtier than normal. You will have more trash than normal. You likely won't be able to fit all the cardboard in the one cardboard recycling. Many of you will be in more debt than you normally are. And that'll be what you have. Wednesday will come. And if you have kids, it's inevitable. They'll crash at some time that day. And at some point, you'll have to ground them or spank them. That just happens, depending on what your punishment in your house is. No judgment there. And some of you will go to your extended family's party, and maybe you got a really great sweater. And so you'll wear that sweater to that party, and maybe that's enough to carry the excitement of the day for you. But if you empty Christmas of its depth and you just stay on the surface, you suck the life right out of it. And here's what'll happen. You'll wake up on Thursday morning, and if all you have is a sweater and not a Savior, you have missed what God wanted to bring this season. And that is His Son. And that is a Savior for you. For every single one of us went astray. And we've all, let's be real, whether it's busyness, familiarity, or fear, we've all missed God. We've all missed the mark. We were created by Him and for Him, and yet all of us have fallen short of His glory. And yet Christmas is about a God who demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, He came. He came to give us another chance. He came as one of us to show us how much He loves us so we could understand Him better, to help us realize how much He wants to be in relationship with us. And He so desperately wants you, His son and His daughter, to receive Him. And at the end of the day, like probably all of us in this room will get gifts. And yet, it's not your birthday. It's His. And so what do you give the King of Kings who has everything in this world? Well, in this relentless pursuit, God will come after you. He'll pursue you and pursue you and pursue you to show you how much He loves you. But He will never force His will upon you. And so the greatest gift that you can give to Jesus Christ tonight is your heart and your life. It's for those of us who've been far too busy to recognize Him. It's for those of us who become far too familiar to remember how great our God is and we don't want to take for granted. And it's for those of us who maybe up to this point been afraid, that God says, I came on Christmas morning for you. For here's what I know. This baby that came in a manger in a stable would grow up. And He'd start a ministry, and He would draw crowds wherever He went. The sky was intoxicating. Everybody wanted to know who this guy was, and He caused a reaction one way or the other. And some loved Him so much, and some welcomed Him with open arms, and others, man, He really threatened the way that they lived, and so they hated Him. They hated Him so much that they crucified Him. And He died and was buried. But He didn't stay dead. And by the way, we get back to that story on Easter when a lot of you will see you again. little jab at you there. Just because I want something more for you than twice a year. And before He ascended, Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. The season that we're in is called Advent. It means waiting or preparation. And so we think back to the hundreds of years they had to wait and prepare for the Messiah to come. And yet we're still here in an Advent. It's what the scholars say. We're in an already come and a not yet come age. And we're stuck in the middle. believing that he'll come back. But I believe through the word of God and scripture that when Jesus comes back, he won't come in lowly form in a manger in a stable. But I see in the book of Revelation, my Savior coming back on a white horse in all glory. I see him coming back and welcoming us to a party that it looks like is filled with streets that are made of gold and gates that are made of pearls. And when he comes back, he says this party, it'll never end. It'll be like a wedding feast, a great us coming back reunited, where we'll party forever. And Jesus says this invitation to the party is open for all of you. Every one of you. And I don't want you, like they did, to miss it. Because they were waiting and preparing. And yet some of the ones that waited and prepared missed him. In the midst of all of this, I don't want you to miss that Jesus will one day come back. And you're invited. And if you walk away with Christmas and don't know it's about a Savior, you have nothing in the end. When Jesus says, if you follow after me, I welcome you into everything, all that I have, because I love you. The invitation is open. And the only gift you can give to the King that gave everything for you is simply to stop running from him and give him your heart and give him your life. In fact, let's pray right now. And if tonight you say, because the word of God says that when we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess that with our mouth, that we are saved. I want you to know that right here tonight, December 24th, 2018, you can have 100% confidence that you will be with God forever if you believe in him and confess with your mouth. And so if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you want to be with him forever in eternity in heaven, will you just raise your hand right now? Will you just raise your hand? And some of you, like, you believe and you're familiar, you know about him, but tonight it's, you know what, I'm gonna raise my hand tonight because I do believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Some of you, it might be your first time. Praise God. Others, it might be the thousandth time. But if you believe in Jesus and you want to be in heaven with him, are you hearing me? You get to be with him. Will you just raise your hand right now, if Jesus is your Lord and you're holding on to that hope, and just pray this prayer with me and say, dear Jesus, I love you and I'm sorry that I've made mistakes and I've fallen short. Thank you for dying for me, for being my Savior. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to give you my whole life, my whole heart. All I can give to you, Jesus, is my life. And I give it to you now. Merry Christmas, Jesus. I hope you like your present. Yes, Lord. Thank you for all those that gave their life to you tonight. What great news that is for you. Awesome, awesome news. And I want you to know that all of heaven is rejoicing over you right now. Can I get my candle? Thank you. We're going to move to the candlelight portion of the evening. And ushers are going to come forward. In fact, you guys can come forward already. I'm going to light mine from the Christ candle in the Advent wreath. And I'm going to give light to the ushers, which will give light to you, which just shows us all of this light stems from Christ. But I want to give you a little context with this light. Jesus came into darkness and said he is the light in this world. And here's what I know. whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, nobody can deny that on the night that Jesus came in Bethlehem, something in the world changed. Something shifted. You guys can go give it to everybody else. Something shifted that night. I mean, we're talking middle of nowhere, Bethlehem. Like, this is Paisley, Florida. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't mean to knock on Paisley, but there's just not a lot out in Paisley. And he was born to a teenage peasant girl and a carpenter as a father. He had no lineage. He had no power attached to him in the first century. And yet when he started his ministry, as we said, people followed him and crowds came from all over to see this Jesus. He was crucified, died, and was buried, and he would rise again. And they tried to take his light out at the cross, but God said, "You won't take my light out." In the 200 years following the resurrection of Jesus, a little history, Christianity became the predominant faith in all of the major urban cities of Rome. In the first century, the word pagan, which most of us associate with morally bad or just bad people, actually just meant somebody outside of the cities, because Christianity had so taken root inside the cities. And for centuries, over 2,000 years, they've tried to take this light out. Governments have tried to oppress it and quell this light. In Rome early on, they threw us to lions and crucified us by the thousands. And yet this light spread. Many more would be persecuted. Many more would be persecuted. And now in our country, where we are overtly materialistic, and that is the major issue that we have, is not persecution, but busyness with all the materialistic things in our world. Yet somehow, this light keeps going and spreading and spreading. Is it perfect how it spread? No, the only thing perfect is Jesus. In fact, we've done our best to mess this up quite a bit. And there are a lot of people that don't want to believe in Jesus Christ because they know too many Christians. And they'll discredit God because of that, but I actually think it gives God more credit. The fact that in a mess of a people, the light still spreads. It gives me hope to know that even though Jesus says I am the light of this world, that it's not dependent on me. And God will just keep making his light spread and spread and spread. He'll do it with or without me and you. But he invites you to be a part of it with him. And you get to be the light in this world. And so will you stand? And let us remember that night when Christ came. And the fact that we are now the lights in this world. Let's sing it together.